Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:06 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 1st, the first day of the quarter. And the fourth quarter of the year is generally better than the second and third quarters. So it's an interesting time to start thinking about, well, what can we expect for the rest of the year? Well, a lot is going to depend upon the willingness of governments to continue to supply fiscal support, central banks to continue to supply monetary support, and then there are the additional factors about how willing are governments going to be to relax the coronavirus restrictions on movement and social gatherings. Then, obviously, that is a highly emotional topic, and there are some very clear opposing views on the topic. Some people think that it's high time that we did release people from these social restrictions. Then I've spoken with one mother who is basically a homeschooler and has always been a homeschooler, worried about a report that came out from Germany, and has subsequently also another report from Stanford University talking about heart inflammation in patients who've recovered even from mild symptoms of the coronavirus. And they're talking about even doing MRIs on people that are displaying no outward symptoms of any kind of ailment. Now, this is really an abundance of care that is extraordinary by any measures. Think about how many times has anyone ever gone for a heart MRI without displaying any form of symptom to indicate a heart condition. In fact, there are so few heart MRIs that have been done on healthy people, then it's really rather questionable whether the kind of data that you can get from that kind of study is efficacious, because there's very little baseline information against which to measure it. So these are rather extraordinary measures that are being taken, and it's on the assumption that people are going to have long-lasting and dangerous repercussions from an infection. But there are lots of other ailments that could potentially also have those sorts of ramifications. They don't necessarily mean that we have to stop the entire economy. But these are the questions that are sitting out there, and it's obvious that the elected officials have to try and plot a path through these extreme positions on the subject. Now, gold today was in positive territory, and it was up another $20, so completely unwound the decline that we had yesterday. But then we also have to think that part of the reason why we've had a rebound in the commodity markets, the precious metal markets, is because of the weakness of the dollar. Silver unwound about half of yesterday's decline. I think the most important thing is that $1,900 has been an area of where gold has paused, and $25 is an important area of potential resistance for silver, and they're both going to have to sustain moves above those levels in order to clearly confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But certainly the rebound that we've had in precious metals is clearly linked to the weakness of the dollar over the last 4 days as well, and the dollar was in negative territory in here today. It hasn't quite broken down into that underlying range just yet, and we may see some additional consolidation here, but of course, or I think perhaps a better way to say it would be distribution, because the overall trend does look like weaker for the US dollar. The simple fact of the matter is that the USA is running much bigger deficits than anywhere else. It's going to have a substantially larger funding requirement, and that should be negative for the dollar overall, and most particularly as a result of the fact that other countries are not printing to the same extent. But the bigger question in the short term is the timing of these moves. And the negotiations between the Democrats and the Republicans in the USA continue. But the PPP program expired yesterday. So now the economy is in danger of running out of additional funds, and that is likely to be reflected in growth outlooks. So part of the reason why we had a significant pullback in copper today was because of those growth fears. It was down really quite aggressively. And if we look at some of, I don't have real-time prices for the LME futures, but we can see from the ETF prices that aluminium, zinc, and lead were all down in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today, and following the lead from copper. So that's a significant breakdown in the lead price, and it does suggest that we're at least getting some mean reversion going on. And for lead, it's also at a position here where it has now broken back below the 200-day moving average, and it has still got this downtrend over the last couple of years. Nickel was also in negative territory, though not nearly in as dynamic a manner as some of the other industrial resources. So there are growth fears being priced into some of these industrial metals. And then, of course, we have the oil price, and it was down as well in here today. Now, part of the reason why is because Libyan supply is coming back to the market, but the reality is that $40 just does not pay the bills for the vast majority of exporting nations, and they have a clear incentive to cheat on their OPEC allocations, and non-OPEC countries have got an additional incentive to pump as much as they can in order to clearly generate as much cash as they can to cover their liabilities. Well, that's not an especially bullish phenomenon, and it does suggest that there could be additional downward pressure. The band in which oil has been trading has been very narrow for the last couple of weeks. It's certainly the upper bound is around the region of the 200-day moving average. That's been true for all of September, but $40 has continued to hold. But there is now only about $3 between the two levels. So this is, or that kind of band is more than, or, excuse me, is less than oil can move in a day. What it suggests is that this inert period of trading is not going to last indefinitely. And if we get a sustained move below $40, then we're likely in for a prolonged period of volatile trading. Of course, when we think about oil and we think about the industrial resources sector, well, what's happening then in China is obviously then going to have a significant bearing as well. The renminbi was in positive territory in here today, and the succession of lower rally highs for the dollar remains very much intact. But what I find particularly interesting here is that the Chinese currency has been appreciating, but government bonds haven't, and yields continue to move higher. There's been a clear break in the downtrend in terms of the 10-year government bond yield. It's up to 3.14%, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. And that yield has been rising since March. Well, that suggests that there is less demand for Chinese bonds, and yet there is plenty of demand for the currency. So the currency is appreciating, but bonds are going down. It means that the money has to be going somewhere. Well, if it's not going into government bonds, then it's either still sitting in cash, it's heading into gold, or it is moving into the stock market. But the money is not just simply sitting nowhere. So then when we think about the Chinese, or the CSI 300, which is the futures traded index, it's steady in the region of the lower side of its range that's been evolving now for the last 4 or 5 months. There's still an overbought condition relative to the trend mean, but at least the breakout has been held so far. The banking sector was much more volatile earlier in this year, and it has been pulling back. So there is the potential here that when we look at the weakness in the banking sector and the weakness in the government bonds sector, that the other potential outcome is that Chinese investors are moving to cash, and that is driving up the value of the currency because of sheer demand for just cash assets. Then, when we think about the knock-on effect to industrial resources, that could be an additional way of thinking about the significant dynamics that we've seen today in the industrial resources. And of course, that's just simply trying to string together a number of correlations within the market. But of course, the other side of it is that China's economy is opening up, and this is Golden Week right now with the Mid-Autumn Festival. So there are a lot of people on the road. There are millions of people flying. So that does suggest that we are entering a post-pandemic period in China. It may be a while before we get there with the rest of the world, but with China opening up and with the clear potential that they're going to do whatever it takes to reignite economic growth, then there is obviously the scope for additional money printing in China, additional spending on infrastructure. Well, obviously, commodity prices are going to tell us when that change eventually happens. But in order for that to, I think, to be a clear signal, well, then we're going to have to see a significant rebound soon in some of those industrial resources. What is also interesting is that the Baltic Dry Index has rebounded quite impressively so far this week and last week. And 2000 is pretty much the upper side of the base formation. The base formation is almost 10 years long. So if it can sustain a move back above the 2000 area, then we're back in a demand-dominated environment. There have been a lot of ships have been taken out of commission this year. That was a risk already because of the IMO 2020 rules. Then the pandemic basically destroyed demand, so there have been a lot of ships have been idled. It's going to require a significant uptick in the cost of shipping, and we've already seen a pop on the upside in order to encourage some supply back into the market. And of course, that would also be demonstrative of economic activity. So there is the argument out there that we could be in an economic revival, but there's still a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of the uncertainty is very closely tied to the question of just when are we going to get additional fiscal stimulus? I'm rather conscious of the fact that we're in the fourth year of the US presidential cycle, and the third year is usually the best, the fourth year is usually pretty good, but then the first year of the presidential cycle is the worst. Now, when we then take a look at some stock markets, well, the Nasdaq, for example, has done spectacularly well, and it was in positive territory as well again in here today. So this is following through on the upside from the bounce that we had last week, and it has now broken its sequence of lower rally highs. So some of the stay-at-home champions have been doing better. Netflix was up 5% today. But then we also have companies like DocuSign and Zoom Video Communications that were also in positive territory. Align Technology, which is those Invisalign dental braces, did spectacularly well in the early part of, or well, I guess last year, and then the early part of this year, but subsequently has been rather volatile. And in fact, it was 2018 when it did very well. If people are worried about going to the dentist, then they're not going to be buying dental braces. So this is obviously then another question. We've probably had as much of the recovery as we're going to have that's been predicated on people just getting used to the environment overall. Now, with the end of the PPP program, there are thousands and thousands of jobs that are being announced lost. And that's going to have an effect on sentiment. So it's inevitable that there will be a deal on an additional stimulus in the next month or two. It's really only a question of how long it takes. When we then think about what's going on in Europe, well, that's where we have got clearest evidence so far of increasing number of cases. And those stock markets are right in the region of their respective trend means. It's as true of Australia as it is of Europe, and these are all the commonality that we have in developed markets is incredibly high. So they're all marching to the same tune. We've had a significant decline, we've had a significant rebound, and an additional rebound from here is predicated on the belief that there will be additional fiscal measures announced, that the wall of money that has been pouring into the market is going to continue. And at the present moment, there are still doubts about that. So you don't have the clear reason for why to buy now. But I thought that I'm posting an article today from John Authors, who is talking about the tendency of very large systemically managed funds to reposition themselves at the end of every quarter. And we had a meaningful pullback at the end of September. It found support in the last week of the month. Now we're seeing a recovery. There's a lot of money has been reallocated and will be reallocated into equities following the reaction. It's predicated on this buy the dip strategy, or very simply reweighting following big moves on the upside and buying things that haven't done as well. And that also suggests that the rotation that has been quite evident at the end of September is also still well underway. But it's going to again be very much tied to the outlook for liquidity. And that is also, I think, likely to be a factor in how well the precious metals do. We're at, I think, another interesting point is that if we are going to get a rotation and we're going to get more economic activity and a recovery overall and a more broad-based recovery, then the industrial sector should start to fire again. There are a lot of rationalization plans that have been underway now for a couple of years, and there is the potential that in a recovery scenario they should begin to bear fruit. That's as true of Rolls-Royce as it is of, for example, General Electric. They've been in the doldrums for a really rather prolonged period of time, and the share price today is right in the region of the lows from back in March. But their process of rationalization has been underway for years already. So these do represent value opportunities in the event that we do get a recovery. And of course, then that just further emphasizes that investors all over the world are particularly alert to any additional news on liquidity measures. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.